So there is copylefted free software and there is non-copylefted free software. Both of them are free because in both cases the developers respect your freedom. They're not trying to deny you your freedom. The difference is with copylefted free software, we actively try to defend your freedom. We try to stop anybody else from taking it away. The non-copylefted free software does not actively defend your freedom. The developers don't try to stop others from taking away your freedom. They just don't do it themselves. So they're not doing anything wrong, but they're not doing as much right as they could. So the result can be used in freedom. It is available for our community, but they could do it better. The software is free, so we do use some of it in the GNU system. In fact, in the late 80s, I decided to use X in the GNU system. Unix in 1984 did not have a Windows system, but I decided that GNU should have a Windows system. I had written a couple of Windows systems in my work at MIT. But we never ended up writing a Windows system specifically for GNU, because there was lots of other stuff to do, and X was becoming popular. And so I decided we won't write another Windows system for GNU, we'll use X. And so we began integrating other parts of GNU with X. And in general, whenever we saw a piece of free software that had been developed by somebody else and was available and would do part of the job of making this system, we used it. People used to say that this job was so big, we'd never get there. We'd never get a whole system made. Well, I thought we had a chance of finishing the job, but clearly it was a very big job. We had to try to shorten it. We couldn't afford the attitude of not invented here. So anytime there was an available free software package that would fit in and do one of these jobs, use it. That still left plenty of components that we had to write or recruit somebody to write. And that's what we did during the 1980s. You know, we filled in these gaps one by one. Eventually, there were enough components available that it seemed useful to make a list of what was missing. That became the GNU task list. Initially, it was a list of pieces of Unix that we had to replace. Nowadays, those items are what we have instead is main applications we would like to have. We had the operating system had to be the first target, after all, because you've got to have an operating system or you can't use your computer at all. With free operating system, there are a lot of developed software and communicate by email and so on. Program and no operating system, you can't even run your application. So the operating system had to be the first goal, but not the last, because you should be able to do everything on your computer in freedom as part of a community. You should never face the choice either of having to, that if you want to do a certain job, you've got to give up your freedom and install a non-free program to do it. Nobody should ever be faced with that horrible choice. In 1985, October 1985, after I saw that GNU Emacs was becoming popular and people therefore knew that the GNU project was not just talk, that we really could produce useful software, I decided it was time to raise money. Foundation, which is a tax exempt promoting free software, and SF dare programmers to develop some important pieces of the GNU system, such as the GNU C library, which every program uses to communicate with the kernel, and the GNU shell, the command processor that you type your commands at, were both developed by staff of the foundation in the 1980s. By the early 90s, the job was almost finished. In fact, there was only one major gap, and that was the kernel. Well, one major crucial gap. There were programs that we wanted very much to have, but were not essential, that were still missing. And we started developing a kernel in 1990 with the idea of saving time I found out about a program called Mach, a microkernel developed at Carnegie Mellon. And the idea of a microkernel is it does the bottom layers of the kernel's job. So we were just going to have to write programs to run on top to do the upper layers of the kernel's job. Easier than writing a whole kernel. For one thing, part of the job was done for us already. And for another, we could debug these programs running as user programs with a symbolic debugger, which I figured would make it a lot easier. Unfortunately, easier. In fact, multi-threaded programs, message passing, getting them to 20 years. The debugging environment was bad to develop it. Mach itself was unreliable. We ended up having to make improvements in it. Rather, it took 6 years, which is this collection. That's why it's called the GNU Herd, you see. It's a herd of GNU servers that work together to do the upper part. A Fisk College student decided to write it. He used the old-fashioned design, and he got it pretty fast. In a year and a half or so, he said it was released. Well, initially, we didn't know about this program, which he called Linux, because he never contacted us. But he announced it, so other people said, well, let's see if we can find all the other things to make up a system. They looked around, and lo and behold, everything they wanted was already there. They said, what good fortune. But there was no luck involved. What they had found were all the other pieces of the GNU system waiting to have a kernel to go with them. So, in fact, they were fitting Linux into the gap in the GNU system, making the GNU plus Linux system. But they did that. They thought they were starting with Linux and taking all these and putting them around Linux, calling this combination a Linux system. And that's where the error happened. That came about that some 20 million people were using a version of it, and most of them don't know it. They think the whole system is Linux. If you look at the booklet for this conference, see one article after another talking about the Linux system. They're talking about the GNU system, and they didn't know it. Unfortunately, it's not easy to find this out. Some got it wrong that you hardly ever hear anybody get it right. Now, the development of Linux, the kernel, was a great contribution to the free software because that's the step that took us across the finish line. Before that, we had almost a complete system, a lot of pieces. But in order to use those pieces, you had to put them on top of other system. After Linux filled the last, there was a complete system. You could take that and install it on a bare D. Actual difference between having 95% of a percent of a system. But the mistake of calling the whole system Linux was a terrible blow to the freedom, because it broke the connection from our software to our philosophy. Before that, there were people using of GNU on their Unix systems, and they knew they were using pieces of GNU. They were fans of GNU. So when they read the things about our philosophy, they this is the philosophy of GNU. Well, they might or might not agree with it, but at least they would give it iteration. And if they did agree with this philosophy, which is the same thing I've been telling you today, then they would feel motivated to help develop more GNU software. So the software would spread the philosophy, and the philosophy would extend the software. But once people started using this entire, basically, GNU system, but calling it Linux, then they were no longer led to the GNU philosophy of free software. Instead, they were led to the philosophy associated with the name Linux, which was the apolitical philosophy of Linus Torvalds, the same philosophy which eventually became known as open source. And the result is that nowadays, most of the people in our community have never even heard the idea that the point of all of this is to have freedom and cooperation. In fact, last January, I gave a speech in Amsterdam, and it was somewhere else in the Netherlands. Afterward, for 5 years, he works in a free software company. And this is the first time, he said, I heard anybody say the purpose of this is freedom. Now just imagine, if he can go for 5 community without ever hearing, that means that we're very far towards forgetting the idea. And this is why I make such a fuss about calling the system /Linux, not calling the whole system Linux. It's true that just as a matter of fairness, we, the principal developers of the system, deserve to get credit. But it's just a matter of ego, why make a fuss about that? It wouldn't justify such a fuss. In fact, people often say to me, give me advice that almost is very wise. They say, it looks bad to make a fuss about credit, so you should stop doing that. And when people talk about the Linux system, you should keep quiet and smile to yourself and take pride in a job well done. The only mistake is the idea that this is a job well done. It's not done at all. We've only made a beginning. And we have a lot more work to do. Consider, we have now a free op. In fact, there's more than one free system. But there are a lot of improvements that we need to make, and there are a lot of free application programs that we still need before we can fully use computers in freedom. We have some 20 million computers running GNU/Linux. But that's a small fraction of all the computers, even all the PCs in the world. It's a small fraction. We have a long way to go. The job is not done. And if we forget the idea of freedom, we will lose our freedom. In our community, you can see that starting to happen. Freedom is getting frayed around the edges. The frontiers of our freedom are not being defended well enough. You see people making compromises here and there which involve giving up freedom. And that's the kind of compromise you should never make. Now, sometimes people accuse me of being uncompromising. On one noteworthy occasion, a person condemned me with great vituperation for having proposed that we exchange concessions to each other. In other words, that we make a compromise. But although I will often make compromises on technical details or on other minor things, the one thing I won't do is compromise away freedom. Because freedom is the whole point of this. You don't achieve your goal by compromising your goal. You have to compromise as the means so that you achieve the goal.